Last week we prayed just before we left. I had asked the Lord before I got here. I'd been listening to a guy preach, and there's a place in the Bible which we won't get to tonight, but it's in the book of John where Jesus tells the man to go to the pool of Siloam and wash his eyes. But it says he told him to go to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And for a long time, I said, why is that called sent? There's got to be a reason. There's nothing in the Bible that doesn't have a purpose. It's supposed to be there for a reason. And if we can comprehend and understand that, so for 30, 40 years now, I've been going, why is that? And I've tried to look it up. I couldn't find it. This week, I was reading along, and it was like, blah, 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 and this is why it's called sent. Now, I'm not going to tell you guys why, but it's a real interesting story, and maybe one of these days I'll tell you. I'm only telling you that because of this. God heard and answered my prayer about, God, here's something that I'm trusting you to show me, and that just happened last week or so. I said, God, why is that called sent? I've dug around, I've looked, I could not find the answer. Would you just somehow drag it across my path or drag me across its path so that I can understand it? Now, that night, last Sunday, we prayed and I said, pick out something that you're willing to trust the Lord for this week. Has anybody had an answer to that prayer? Do you even remember praying that prayer? Do you remember picking something out and saying, I'm going to trust the Lord for that? Has anybody had a response yet? Two. Concerning that? Woohoo! Mandy, you got something to say?
Oh, no, I was just answering your question.
Yes, you did. I mean,
yes.
You had something too. Okay, now, the reason I'm trying to bring this up is we can work, and that's not the point of what this whole instruction is about. We need to realize that our victories and triumphs is not the things that we work ourselves up to and accomplish, but we win a victory over Satan every time we say, I trust you, and wait till God reveals Himself or works it out, or we do it. What I'm saying is we do this in a trusting faith. When we do that in a trusting faith, whatever that is, we have a triumph then over the devil. And it doesn't matter how small that triumph is, we have had a victory. And with the help of Christ, we have overcome the devil. He does not want us to start thinking in terms of, here's the problem, God, I'm going to trust you to deal with this. Because when we start thinking in those terms, he keeps getting beat more and more and more and more all the time. Now, I just brought it up because I want you to know that there's three of us tonight who have heard from God in some way about something that we had mentioned. God, I'm going to trust you. Even if it was a trivial thing, like why is it called sent? But whatever it is, God has revealed or shown to us that reason or that answer. He's responded to that. Trusting rest in Him. And that is what faith is. Okay? For all of you haven't heard from Him yet, it's okay. He still heard your prayers. Keep trusting, and it will come across your path one of these days, and you'll go, oh, there it is. That's it. Does anybody else got anything they'd like to share on any other subject? Great service this morning. Enjoyed it. This church is blessed of God, whether you know it or not. You don't have a choice. It's blessed. It's just a blessed church. Anybody got anything else? Okay, now we're going to get into it. This is just for your information. It is, Doyle, why do you have to tell these things? Because there is a thing called teaching, and some of it, like I said, we're disciples of Jesus Christ, we're learners. And some of it's just things that we have to be exposed to and then shove it in our head, and then somewhere down the road it'll make more sense to us, and God can pull this stuff into our minds and we can go, oh, that's what God's talking about, or now I understand. Here's something that most people never really sit down and think about. We use the terms Hebrews, children of Israel, Israelites, and Jews all intermixed together. And we just throw them out there. But whenever you start getting serious about your scriptures, you need to sort this all out in who we are talking about and why is this. It's not in the scriptures. There are periods of time where it doesn't matter which one you use, but there's periods of times when specific words are very specific to a group of people and you got to know who he's talking to. Sorry, it's boring, but it's just the way it is. Abraham. Abraham is not a Jew. Abraham is not an Israelite. Never was, never will be. Most people go, but he's the father of the Jews. So what? He's not Jewish. Abraham, when he left Ur of the Chaldees and finally made that big trip, he ended up in a place called Hebron. That's why he is a Hebrew. You know, we all have little catchphrases for where we come from. I come from Noble, therefore I'm a Nobelite. People from Clay City are Claytonians. People from Flora say I'm from Flora because if you say I'm a fluoride, it sounds like you're brushing your teeth with something. So he, Abraham, was a Hebrew because he was from Hebron. Just use that as a rule of thumb. Now, so Abraham was never Jewish, was never Israelite. He has a boy named Isaac. Isaac has a boy named twins, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob starts out, and then his name gets changed to Israel. Now, at this point, Jacob has 12 kids. Therefore, Jacob is an Israelite. Well, actually, he's Israel, but all his kids are Israelites. Or, originally, they're just called the sons of Israel. It's like Mike's kids could be called the children of Mike, the sons of Mike, sons of Michael, the sons of Michael Shane. But they're still the sons of Michael. But Michael is just Michael. Jacob is Israel, and his kids are known as the 12, are known as the children of Israel. His grandkids are the children of Israel. Anybody that's descendant of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, is an Israelite. Okay? But Jacob's not a Jew. Does this all make sense? Abraham is a Hebrew, but he's not an Israelite, nor is he Jewish. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. His 12 sons are Israelites, or the children of Israel. Israelites. Now, all of those are Israelites. Out of his kids, he's got a bunch of kids. Daniel. He's got Ashkelon, or I don't know. It's not Ashkelon. I can't even think of their names now. Asher, there it is. And you've got a whole bunch of them. 12, okay? And out of all that 12, one of their names is Judah. You got Simon, Levi, Reuben. But you have Judah. Judah is the father of the Jews. Okay? Now, all Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. Remember last time I drew that map up here? Here, we'll try this one. Drew that map, and I said, you know, here's Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, and all that kind of stuff. And as time went on, they marched up here. They went through Jericho. They had the big battle. They divided the ground up, and up here was a place called Dan. That's where half the tribe of Dan settled. Manasseh, Dan. And that's why they say from Dan to Beersheba, because there's a town here called Beersheba. So when they said Dan to Beersheba, they're talking about all the country of Israel. David finally rules the whole country. Solomon rules the whole country. Solomon boys a snot. And the country splits about right here. This area right down here was the area where the tribe of Judah settled. Now, the tribe of Benjamin also settled down there, and they just got kind of absorbed right into the tribe of Judah because Benjamin wasn't that big of a tribe. So you have this area, And right here is the city of Jerusalem. This became known as the kingdom of Judah. This became known as the kingdom of Israel. Now you can see, because these 10 tribes got carried off and they're lost, and they're known as the 10 lost tribes of Israel. All that was left is there was a smattering, just like around here. Around Noble, we've got French people, we've got a girl from Chile, we've got some German descent, we've got English descent, we've got Welsh descent. So you have all these people who are kind of crowded in from all the tribes are around this area, lived and married into the tribes of Judah. But these people disappeared, so what was left is the Jews, and the Jews we have today are mainly descendants of this group of people. Does that make sense? So whenever you're talking, and the Bible says the Israelites did this, all Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. So it's just something I want you guys to keep on track of. Today we talk about the Jews. That's okay, because all that we know about, the main group of people we know about, are these Judas, these tribe of Judas. We know what happened to them because they went to Babylon, they came back, they set up the country again, and they inhabited this whole group. They're known as Jews. The Jews spread out all over the world, and in 1948 somewhere, not 48, yeah, something like that, 1948, they went back over and retook the country, and they named it Israel, and today they're called Israelis. Not Israelites, Israelis. So I'm just telling you that because we need to keep this stuff in our heads. Don't worry about it. There will not be a test later. Now, in a review of what we was talking about, this kind of stuff will come into play eventually, but I just want to introduce it to you. Okay, so last week we was talking about the Pharisees, which is a denomination. It's like saying the Presbyterians or the Methodists or the Baptists. The Pharisees did not like Jesus. Remember, and they had that head-on conflict going on, and they said, we've got Abraham as our father. We have a Hebrew as our father. And he said, well, if you had Abraham really as your father, then you would act like him. What did he do? He welcomed the angels. Somebody say the angels. He welcomed the angels, and angels are messengers from God. Abraham welcomed, whenever he had a message from God, he welcomed it. The Pharisees, on the other hand, said, we know enough. We don't need any message from God. We don't need you to come tell us what God has to say. And Jesus says, I come from God with a message straight to you. And they were pushing it away because they did not like his message. There are a lot of churches, without regard to the denominations, who do not like the message that God brings them. When you just read to them, this is what the Bible says. I was tell you, I was at one church, and oh well, it doesn't matter. Bible, Bible, Bible. And they did not want to hear what the Scripture had to say because they had it in their mind, a preconceived notion of what it should be. Instead of conforming to the image of the Word of God, they were trying to make God's Word conform to their idea of what it was supposed to be like. So Abraham welcomed the angels. These people did not. Remember, they were seeking to kill him. So we're in chapter 8, verse 56 and 59. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. That's Jesus talking. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. We've got some questions here. Why did that infuriate him? They had a legitimate question because he said, if you were of your father, Abraham, he was glad to hear. He treated the messengers of God right, the angels of God right. I come from the throne of God with a message to you, but you're seeking to kill me. By the way, remember it says that they took up stones to stone him. And he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, you can take this a couple of ways, and it both works. There's a place in the Scripture, and I didn't write it down, I should have, but there's a place in the Scripture that says, God does nothing without first telling a prophet. God does nothing without first telling a prophet. Now, this is something you need to know. A prophet is just a person who speaks forth the Word of God. If I stand here every Sunday and I just read to you one chapter at a time and I say, this is what the Word of the Lord says, and I read to you a passage and I say, let's go home, I'm being a prophet to you. I'm speaking forth the Word of God. A lot of people have the idea that a prophet, and they like to call themselves, I'm a prophet, oh, and then they start this, I'm getting a message from God right now. Oh, I see something. I want you all out there in TV land to think about sending me some money. God wants you to send me money. I see a $100 bill stuck behind a picture, and God wants you to get that money from behind that picture and send it to me. Trust me with that. Okay, that's a snake oil salesman. I have an aunt. She's no longer living by herself, so it doesn't matter. But she would take her money and hide it from people. And she would pin it behind her curtain. You know, this is the front of the curtain. On the back side of the curtain, she would pin the $100 bill. So, you know, if you know this kind of stuff, I could go on there and let her listen to say, oh, I see a lady with a $100 bill. It's hidden behind a curtain. God wants you to send. And they're saying, oh, he's talking to me because nobody knows I hide my money behind a curtain. That's not a prophet. A prophet is a person who speaks the Word of God. Now, it is true that God speaks to people, and but before He does anything major, He tells somebody so that they can witness to it and say, God told me this. And then when it happens, the people that heard the man of God, who is a true prophet, said, He told us God said that was going to happen. Now, it doesn't happen a lot to me. But it has happened. The one I remember the greatest, I was a cussing when it happened. And I probably told you one day I said, God, it's been a long time since I've heard from you. You know, you got anything to say? You know, there's just nothing been going on. It's been a long time, years, just blah. That's all it is, just blah out there. Isn't something, you know, something going to happen? And he said to me, it's not a voice. It's just one of them things. God speaks to every person in a different way. He will speak to you in a way that you understand, okay? It doesn't have to be a voice, but somehow He'll communicate to you. And when it happens, you'll know it. And it was, tomorrow will be a day you won't forget. And I was like, yeah. A friend of mine called me from Lawrenceville, and I was talking to him, and I said, oh, by the way, God told me that tomorrow's going to be a day that I wouldn't forget. Guess what day God told me that on? September the 10th, 9:10. 9/11, I was working at the grocery store unloading, and I got a telephone call, and my nephew said, an airplane, a big jet just flew into the side of the trade tower, and they said, I'm going, holy, holy, I can't believe it. And then the people were working over there. And then he says to me, oh my gosh, another plane. It just hit the other tower. And I'm going, holy. And they come in from out back where we were working. And they all just looked at me. And I said, two planes have hit the World Trade Towers. And they said, we knew it was bad because the preacher was a swearing. And it was bad. But before that happened, God told at least me. He might have told some other people. He gave me a heads up that something was going to happen so that I would be aware of it, so that I would know that He was still on the throne and things were going. And it wasn't something that was out of control. It did not shock Him. It wasn't something that He was prepared for. He knew it was going to happen. Very, very awful. Very bad. Very, very, very bad. But God knew it was happening and it was not out of His control. It's not, you know, the world hasn't spun out. And that's why a lot of times He tells us things that's going to happen so we will know that the world is not out of control, our God's still in control, and we can walk in faith trusting Him. No matter what's going on in the world around us, we can trust Him. Expect God to be speaking to you. Now, I don't know why I got off on that, but it was a good thing to get off on. Now, let's keep going. When he said, Abraham rejoiced to see, it could be that Abraham, and it was, he was told that the Messiah would come through his line. He was told by God that off in the future, there would be one of his kids, great, 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 how far you got to go, grandkids, who would be the anointed one that was talked about in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. He said, that man is going to come from you. And he said, I am happy. I want to see that day. I rejoice because I know it's coming because God told me. So when God tells us stuff, we can rejoice knowing that it's a sure word from the Lord, but you'll have to know it's from God, a sure word from the Lord. So he rejoiced to know that the day of Jesus Christ was off in the future and the Messiah really was going to come, and that promised seed that God had talked about in Genesis was slated as a future event that was going to happen and would be a direct descendant of Abraham. But they said, well, you're not even 50. How could he rejoice to see your day? And he said, that's the important part, is what he said. He saw it and was glad. And Jesus answered that and said, verily, verily, that just means truly, 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 I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, that's the... before Abraham was, I am. First of all, if we'd go back all the way back into Genesis chapter 17, back over there someplace, I'll find it. You have some statements, and this is the reason why they got so upset with him. Genesis 17, verse 1 through 6. And when Abraham, or when Abram, was 90 years old and 9, that's 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram. Abram had his name changed, so we haven't got to the name change yet. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, which is a word for mature. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and talked, and God talked with him, saying, and then he goes on saying, for as behold, my covenant is with thee, thou shalt be the father of many nations. That's us. Neither shall thy name any more be Abraham, but thy name, or Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in the generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And then it just goes on and on and on talking about that. But remember what he said, I am God Almighty. Then whenever you get on over to Moses, which would be like, I've got the reference here. When you get on over to Moses, Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, Moses comes along and God says, Moses, go down and set my people free. Moses said, what? He stammered. What am I going to tell him? Who sent me? And God said, you tell him, I am sent you. Why that? What's the name of God? Why that? Because when he was talking to Abraham, he said, I am the Almighty God. That is the name of God. I am. I am the Almighty God. You tell them that I am sent you, because they knew that I am talked to their great-great-grandfather Abraham. So he said, you tell them I am sent you. Now, the reason this is all important, it's very important, very, very, very important, is there are denominations and people who will come to your house, knock on your door, and say, Jesus Christ is a Son of God, not the Son of God. He is a Son of God. And Jesus never, ever claimed to be God. Now you know that he claims right in that scripture to be God. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see it, but before Abraham was, I am. I am. And those Pharisees understood quite clearly that he was saying, I am your God. The name I am is an important name because it's not I was, or I will be, or I might be. It is I am. I don't know. The best way to explain it is, if this is Jesus' time right here, and over there is Abraham's time, and over there is our time, Jesus talking to them, and he says, I'm standing here talking to you. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is the physical human part of Jesus Christ. The Christ part of God, of Jesus Christ, before Abraham was, I am. He was saying literally, I'm talking to you, but I am right now before Abraham ever was. He could have also said, I am also at Missionary Baptist Church. I am. You see, God is everywhere, and He always is, always has been, always will be, does not change, therefore it's not I will become, it is I am. This is the way I am. I am everywhere. I'm from the beginning to the end. I'm everything in between. I know everything. I have all knowledge. I have all power. I can see everything and all the possibilities. I am. So He was stating the fact very clearly to the Pharisees. We being Americans at this day and age don't understand it quite as well as they did, but they completely understood it. How do we know? Because it said they picked up stones to kill Him. They was yelling, blasphemer, blasphemer. You cannot equate yourself with God. There is only one God, and you can't be Him. And He was saying, I am God. I am Jesus Christ. I am God. This is the time, people say Jesus never declared Himself that. It was somewhere off in the future. The church made that up. We have proof right here. Got a red letter version, not a red letter King James. We've got it in His own words. Before Abraham was, I am. And that was not added. That was right there. We've got text within 100 years of John reading. So this is not something that centuries later we added into it. This is something that Jesus Himself said. And from the very beginning of Christianity, we know that He was claiming to be God. John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. That is a witness. Now we have Jesus Christ Himself standing up and testifying, before Abraham was, I am. He is claiming to be God. He is claiming to be our God, and He is worthy of our worship, of our trust. He is the Son of God. He was sent by God the Father. This is that Trinity thing that's so hard for us to grasp, but He is completely God. I am before Abraham was. I am existing right now is what He's saying. Before Doyle Williams was ever born, I am. And sometime in the future, when he goes to heaven, I am there. And this is the comfort, because He says He knows us, those whom He foreknew. And when He was talking, which we read in Genesis there, Him talking to Abraham and said, I am going to make you the father of many nations. Those are promised children that would be coming to Abraham. We are those promised children. We are those nations. We are like our father, Abraham, not by direct line, not by direct blood, but rather by our action. We trusted God because He told us certain things. Abraham trusts God because God told him certain things. Therefore, we are like our father, Abraham, and we are a part of that promised group of people. Isn't that amazing? Each and every one of you, when you said, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, you at that point became identified as a promised child. And God knew it all along. He had been waiting for you to show up on His doorstep and say, I want you to be my daddy. And He said, come on in. I'm your dad. You found a home with me. That's great. Take comfort in that. Now, that is the reason why they picked up the stones to kill Him. They completely understood that He was claiming to be God. So if anybody knocks on your door, and there are groups that do this, will knock on your door and then say, well, Jesus never really said He was God, they're lying to you. Whether they know it or not, they're lying to you. They are ill-informed. They do not have the proper education. They have not yet divided the word of truth properly. They're lying to you. Jesus is God. Jesus is God.
Amen.
You want me to say that one more time? Jesus is God, and He can be trusted. Now, after this happens, then they took up stones to cast at Him, but Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. What's so interesting about that is this one thing. He was not afraid to proclaim who He was. "I am God," Jesus says. They picked up the stones. He didn't cower, but it says He hid Himself and He just walked out. That would be like 1,000 people standing around, and I'm talking to them, I make them really mad, and then I go, poof. Now, how He hid Himself, I do not know, but I can't think that there was 1,000 people, and He just took off running through the midst of them. It doesn't say that. It says He hid Himself. Something He did, or by the power of God, happened to Him so that He was just like cloaked in an invisibility cloak and walked right through them. How it was accomplished, I don't know. I don't care. But why did He not fear that crowd, and why did He have the ability to proclaim that He was God? Because it was not His time to die. It was not His time to die. And He knew that. So He could make these statements without fear. The reason I'm saying that is there are promises made to us. And we need to realize that there's promises made to this church. And it's not our time to die. Paul. Paul was stoned, and he was thrown into that prison. And he started singing. Was he afraid? No, because God had made certain promises to him that he would go to Rome, that he would witness before kings, and that hadn't happened yet. So he says, "You can't kill me. Na 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 na. My God's great." And he starts singing, "Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above." And he's singing, and they're going, "What is he? Is he crazy?" And he was proclaiming, "You can't kill me because it's not my time yet." Know these things. Find a promise from God that you know that He has given to you. And then no matter what happens, you can say, "This is awful, but I won't be overcome by that problem. I will not be intimidated by those people. I will not let that fear overcome me, because there is a promise given to me that something's going to be accomplished in my life, and I have not yet seen it. Therefore, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above." See what I'm getting at? We've got to learn to sing. When things are bad, but we know that there's a promise given to us that hasn't been fulfilled yet, we can stand on that promise, lift our voices, and sing, because we will not be overbeat, whatever the word is there. It won't happen to us because God has made us certain promises.
Amen.
Now, I'm saying all that so I can say this. I did not see this. I don't have the privilege of relating this to you as a fact. There is somebody who was shown something that was going to happen in the future. This church is going to survive. This church is going to thrive. And someday, there is going to be a group of people like a band in front of this church. Whether it's in this building, it wasn't told. Whether it's in another building, another time, we don't know. But we do know that it was shown by revelation to this person that certain thing was going to happen. Therefore, no matter what you see, and no matter what kind of troubles this church is having, it will survive until that is fulfilled. And we just keep hanging on it and standing. God showed certain things to this church that will happen. And no matter what, I stand, no matter what it looks like, I stand on that promise that today is not the day that I fail. Today is not the day that this church goes down. Today is not the day that we walk away humiliated and lock those doors. Today, now, is not the time that we will be beaten. There might come a time when this church closes because God has used it and our mission is complete. But until that time, this church will continue to function. And we've got to stand on that, or relax on that trusting faith, and say, "Oh yeah, it's going to happen. no matter what, it's going to happen, and I will live to see it because I'm trusting God. What has been shown to me, what has been shown to the prophet of God, the person who speaks forth the word of God, it has been shown, and you probably don't remember it, but it was told to this church already once, and one of these days, it will happen. It will happen.